Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Michael McGlynn. He's a former football player at the University of Notre Dame. He played under Coach Lou Holtz, had quite a career there, playing for the Fighting Irish. And he's also a very accomplished musician and producer. In fact, he recorded with legendary musicians from Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine to the Allman Brothers Band and Genesis. How about that? But I'd like to welcome my good friend Michael McGlynn to Blessed to Play. Michael, it's so great to have you back on.
Ron, it's great to connect with you. Blessed Easter as well.
Yeah, same to you. And let's talk about your career playing for the Fighting Irish now that you had some years to reflect on that. I know when you played, it wasn't all, you know, joy, joy, joy. There was a lot of struggle that went on. In fact, I think you told me that you were even thinking about leaving the team at one point, and good thing you didn't. But it has to be something for an alumnus now, looking back at such a storied program and playing under such a great head coach in Lou Holtz.
You know, with all wonderful opportunities, there's usually the cross. And going through that back then, I knew I was suffering, but I didn't have that kind of spiritual IQ all the time to understand what was happening. And so I struggled for a while. But ultimately, you know, honestly, grabbing a hold of the rosary changed my life. Mm-hmm. It changed the way I play. It changed really the type of person I was and the type of leader that I was being afforded an amazing opportunity to become. And so no regrets, just a lot of gratitude.
Well, life is a journey, obviously, and you had to find yourself, as we all have to do in our lives. But just talk about that atmosphere at Notre Dame, a lot of spiritual reminders. Was there any one person that influenced you spiritually, or was it just an accumulation of the environment that you were in?
I'll tell you, Coach Holtz always had us go to Mass before games, both at home and on the road. And that really left an indelible mark mm-hmm. in my memory. Even though I wasn't the most pious young man then, that ritual of our faith in sacrament had an important, I guess, impact on me. And I know it had an impact on other guys on the team and even the guys that were there that were not Catholic. And that's evidenced by what they've gone on to do with their lives. You know, being married, having families, giving back, and leaning into their faith. So I would say that the Mass and what Coach Holtz did with us in terms of making sure that that was a mainstay in our preparation, even during, you know, two-a-days. You know, we'd always get together on Sunday down at the Grotto, and we'd have Holy Mass out there. Those were grounding moments.
And you weren't a one-trick pony, Michael. It's not only an athlete, but you're a musician as well. And I mentioned some major artist groups that you performed alongside or recorded with. Just talk about how music became such a passion of yours as well.
My earliest memories of music is my father playing guitar in our home. And I was really, you know, impressed by this and picked up the guitar at a young age, and he taught me how to play. And then I started to sing, and I had this great desire to sing, and I carried this all the way through up to Notre Dame. And unfortunately, Notre Dame didn't have a recording arts program. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to study music engineering, I wanted to do that, but I did teach myself, you know, the basics of piano while I was up there and would play at a local pub and things of this sort, and did some things on campus, you know, but it was always an important piece of my life. And actually, I wanted to pursue music right after high school. And my parents were like, look, you know, we really want you to go to college. And then boom, all these opportunities hit. So I chose Notre Dame and had to kind of bury that music for a while. But it was a necessary sacrifice in order to follow this incredible opportunity that God was giving me and my family.
Yeah. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Michael McGlynn. He's a former University of Notre Dame football player and now storytelling promoting the power of the Eucharist. And we're going to talk about that. As you know, Michael, St. Augustine said, when you sing, you pray twice. So this being musically inclined, being able to sing and putting on concerts and talks, this really led to you going into a certain type of ministry. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and your inspiration to do so?
Yeah, real quickly, after Notre Dame, I made a beeline for Nashville. I studied music there, studied voice, was writing, and ultimately recorded a project with some of the great musicians and their bandmates that you mentioned at the start of the show. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, though, I set that aside. I felt inspired by God, if you will, to leave that aside. And then we went back to Kansas City to raise our family near family. But what happened over that time, though, of letting that passion, that desire go, is that it came back to me in the form of something much more purified. And that was really to use this talent that God gave me in music really for Him. And so even the songs I started to write were more about Him and the faith. And then I started going out and giving talks at different conferences in the Catholic faith and using my music as well.
So let's talk about this Catholic-centric message that you're promoting. And when you go to a parish or just talking to a group of people, also through your productions as well. And that's the power of the Eucharist and communicating that. That's a tough thing to promote and communicate because it is so all-powerful. How did you go about trying to do that?
I've been a Eucharistic adorer since I got to Nashville. When I was in Nashville in the late 90s and early 2000s, I was a daily Mass goer, and I do about 30 minutes a day before the Blessed Sacrament. I didn't think this was anything extraordinary, but it really was where I got my interior formation, and I became very comfortable with being in the presence of the Lord, which is mysterious, but it's also silent. And so I enjoyed silence. In any event, fast forward to March of 2018, I was giving a series of concert talks at the National Shrine of Maximin and Kolbe in Chicago. And it was on that last day that I sensed the Lord was trying to tell me something. So I went back to Kansas City and to an adoration room that my uncle, Father Charles McGlynn, had built at his parish, and to listen to the Lord and discern. Well, I was able to do that, but this room he built was so beautiful, and I just didn't want to leave. And I was looking for peace and just dealing with weariness at that time in my life as a husband, father, and a business owner. Well, I kept doing it, and from that came the inspiration to leverage my storytelling talents to get this important word out on what takes place when you adore the Lord's real presence.
Well, maybe you could give us a glimpse of What are we to expect? Maybe someone who has never done that, went to adoration or adored, but wants to reach out to God and hasn't done it in the Catholic sense. What could you tell them, and what can they do to be part of this magnificent grace that is so beyond our understanding?
Yeah, Ron, that's a great term in terms of grace, mystery. But really, when we understand grace being that love between God the Father and God the Son, we get caught up into that love and that energy. And I think what's most important for people to realize when they go before the real presence of the Lord, whether it's the Eucharist exposed in a monstrance or just the tabernacle itself, is that, you know, in our American culture, we're very good about trying to rely upon ourselves, but probably too much to a default. When we go before the Lord, it's the opposite. We really should go and do nothing, but allow Him to take care of us. And this was something that I know the saints and the doctors of the church wrote about, but I didn't read that when I started going to adoration daily. This was what I started to experience. Again, I came weary, wondering about what I was supposed to do next, and the Lord began to minister to me. So it was really about Him caring for me in that moment. He just needed my yes. And my yes was to walk in there, to sit down, to kneel, and to allow Him to do what He needed to do with me. And it began this beautiful, beautiful spirituality that I was like, you know, I wish every person I know could come in here and experience that. And that became really the spark and the inspiration for wanting to get this story out.
Now, Michael, everyone comes to God with a different disposition in the sense that we all have a different life experience. Some tragic, some not. Some edifying, some not. How do we come to the Lord and have Him transform us?
That's a great question. I love the word disposition, because when we physically go into the presence of the Lord in a church, in a chapel, we are disposing ourselves to him, meaning we're orienting ourselves physically to him, but orienting our hearts and our souls and the things that stir in us that we often may not even have language for can be very difficult and challenging. St. Faustina gives us a really great insight into this. When Jesus says to her, "Speak to me as a friend to a friend," he goes on to tell her, "Give me your soul property, which is your misery." That's everything that weighs you down, that troubles you, gives you angst. So when we go to the Lord, this is an opportunity not just to listen, but also to speak and share with him what's on our heart. You know, we have that book of Lamentations from Sacred Scripture, where it was nothing but a whole book of complaints. What's wonderful is that when we begin, even if it's with a complaint, eventually we're going to finally get tired and be quiet. Mm-hmm. And it's at that point that the Lord can really begin to move over us and do what it is he'd like to do within our souls.
You know, it's interesting. You brought up the word quiet on several times now, and I think it could be countercultural to think that sometimes quiet has this appearance of being lonely. But it's really when we block out a lot of distractions that we could really get in tune with ourselves and really maybe see where God is leading us, because we're always trying to fill ourselves up with noise, and there's constant noise around us in the everyday world. So just talk about that concept of quiet and how it could benefit us.
You know, being with ourselves can be a very scary, lonely place. I know people that have to have music playing because of the restlessness. And we sometimes do things that we're not even aware that we're even doing. It has to be pointed out by someone else. Well, again, when we show the courage and the humility to go before the Lord and sit in silence, even if our minds are to run and waver in different areas of focus, what have you, what happens is over time, we become more and more comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. And from an objective standpoint, it is the Holy Spirit that begins to show us things about our lives that we never could know on our own. And again, this is the real sense of the Lord guiding our souls. It's a very, very beautiful thing. It takes time. Just like an athlete has to train for years to become proficient and strong. These are the spiritual exercises. Mm-hmm. And all the great saints speak of the power of going before the Lord. They were all dedicated to our Lord's real presence. Mm.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, because as athletes, we always try to prepare our physical bodies and obviously our mind as well. But obviously, we have to train and prepare ourselves spiritually, and that's just as important, if not more so. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we want to tap into Michael's latest project, Adore Him Daily TV. We'll find out what that's all about when Blessed to Play returns right after this.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Michael McGlynn. Back in the day, he was a heck of a football player at the University of Notre Dame, played under Coach Lou Holtz. And then really did well in music, played with some outstanding performers like Gloria Estefan, Miami Sound Machine, the Allman Brothers Band, Genesis. Now he's taken his talents, his musical talents, his production talents, and really doing something great to draw people into the Eucharist and the power of that. And he started AdoreHimDaily.tv. And Michael, why don't you tell us what those folks who would go to Adore Him Daily TV, what could they expect when they visit that site?
Yeah, absolutely. AdoreHimDaily.tv is just simply put an online platform that uses the power of story to speak of the life-changing benefits of Eucharistic adoration. So what that means is I produce short films, generally 8 minutes or less, that tell the story of Eucharistic adorers, all walks of life, people that are trying to work out their salvation and try to answer those questions that come to us so early in our lives. Who am I? Why am I here? What is this all about? And when we begin to involve our Lord in his real presence, that he left for a reason for us so that we would always have access to him. There are no guards blocking us from going. In fact, it's easier to go visit Jesus in the chapel or the church than it is to go see a president, a pope, a movie star. And yet this is the creator of the universe. And so wanted to document those stories in a way that would be simple for people to get a little wisdom and encouragement.
Now, not many of us who've had coaches had a chance to interview them later on, and you had the chance to interview a pretty darn good head coach who you played for at the University of Notre Dame in Lou Holtz. And sometimes, you know, I think when you're playing for someone, you don't see all the redeemable qualities. I'm sure you saw Lou at his best and at his worst. But now that he's in his twilight of his life, you had the chance to sit down with him. What impressed you about interviewing your old coach?
You know, it was great to go down there and visit with him down in Florida. And I actually brought with me a friend of mine, Father Chris Alar, who's the provincial for the Marians of the Immaculate Conception in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. This order carries the torch on the devotion to Jesus, the Divine Mercy. And I know that Father Chris wanted to interview him for his show, Living Divine Mercy, mm-hmm. on EWTN. So we went down together to visit with him, and it was a great visit. He, you know, Coach Holtz had lost his best friend, his dear wife, you know, about a year prior to that. And you know, he's an older man now. But I wanted to talk to him not about football, but about the faith. And, you know, it was really beautiful. I said, Coach, I don't know if you realize it, but when you were always asking us to pay attention to the details, the tiny details, and be methodical about doing that so that when it's fourth and goal and, you know, 20 seconds left in a game and we're exhausted, that we would perform because we were used to drilling down on the basics. I said, do you realize that you were guiding us in the interior life to be saints? And we had this great conversation. It was awesome.
Now, Lou Holtz grew up in a poor community. He was Catholic, obviously, and he was like a, you know, lunch, bring your lunch pail type of coach. And he took those values that he grew up with and put it on the football field. And, you know, it worked out well for him. How much could a coach influence a player, and how much can a coach who's spiritual influence a player?
Oh, I think in terms of I'd like to qualify this with a male coach with male men. So we know that from the authority structure, the patriarchy, the father, the headship, this is what young men look towards. Fathers can do great things with their sons. They can mess things up. We can mess things up with our children, especially our sons. When you have a coach that is oriented towards bringing out your best, even if you don't understand him and his ways seem to be somewhat archaic, if he has a bearing of godliness and devotion to our Lord, let alone Our Lady, which Coach Holtz did as well, beautiful things can happen. And he really can become an instrument that affects an influence in that young man who is looking for someone to follow, looking to see, who am I? Why am I here? What is this about? And sports is a great currency, as you know, of many, many people you've interviewed.
Yeah, some great lessons that he taught you guys in the best of his ability from his experience of life and from a faith perspective. And that's going to come out in different ways. But like you mentioned, you could sense the authenticity, and that rubs off on players. Now, Michael, I want to talk about something, and I know you could articulate even more on this topic, but we're living in a world where there's a lot of worry, and all of us worry to a certain extent, even though it can't add a single moment to our lifespan. We tend to have a tendency to worry, right? But trust replaces fear, and love replaces worry. Why don't you expound on that?
Yeah, you know, Coach had this thing, you know, I remember him always talking about, you know, love, trust, and respect. And you know, it makes me think of when you know someone and they're likable and they're good, you're gonna trust them, and there's gonna be respect there, right? So we do this as players. We do this hopefully with our parents and trying to understand that fourth commandment, especially if you have honorable parents. When we look at spending time with the Lord. Any person in sacred scripture that ever had contact with Jesus Christ, they always left different, even his enemies. Mm-hmm. When we spend time with the Lord in his real presence, for an example, what happens is we are going to trust him because we're going to know him. And we know him by spending time with him. You know, the currency of love, as it often has been said by many people, is time. And to give our time to a flat piece of bread in a gold container is a supreme act of faith for many people, mm-hmm. let alone to sit in silence where we have to be with our thoughts. And what I've documented the last several years is just absolutely extraordinary what happens to people when they begin to let down and follow the lead of others that have gone this way. And they begin to have a deeper sense of peace in their lives. And it affects everything. It does affect their confidence in God. But there's something more importantly happening. And I really do believe that this is the key for us turning things around in our families, in our country, in our nation, and even in our church, is that we sometimes speak of, like, for instance, adoration and the benefits of that, the benefits personally, and that's wonderful. But there's a primary piece that we sometimes miss in our faith and our walk with God, and that is he's our first cause and our final end. He's owed our adoration. In fact, it says, how is heaven on earth and earth in heaven? They adore in heaven. You know, so I love this because so much about adoration, Ron, is about getting back to the basics. Mm-hmm. And any coach and any player understands this. What do good coaches do mid-season? They stop and they drill back down on the basics because we get off track and we need that. Adoration is the great nullifier in our spiritual lives because it places us back to our first cause and our final end and has us look at how am I living my life? How am I loving God? How am I loving others?
Okay, so let's get practical about this. There may be some folks listening to this show that this is so foreign to them, but they stopped and they listened and they want to draw closer to God. Based on what you said, how do they do it and where do they go?
Perfect. So if you are a baptized Catholic and you're going to Mass, which you should be, then a great way to begin adoring the Lord is to take 5 minutes after Mass before you leave the church and just remain in his presence, to just linger with the Lord, to thank him, to maybe offer some prayers, but just, you know, who goes to a great meal and gets up from the table and runs out the door? No one. So here we've had this amazing meal where we've received the Lord. It's time to kick back, to relax a moment, and to give thanks. That's a starting point. It's easy to do. You don't have to add anything to your day. Now, if you're like our sons who are in college or our daughter who's in high school and they have a car, I say, well, listen, you're free. You have your summer. Can you go give 20 minutes to the Lord today or this week? So to start off simple, mm-hmm. maybe you don't start into that full hour. Maybe you start in incrementally. Maybe you're not able to. But the key is to begin. You know, so I think that's the best way to take that first step.
Yeah, some good words there for sure. And Michael, in our remaining moments, I have to ask you, during your time at Notre Dame, you had some huge games, obviously, some big rivalries. But what was the sweetest victory that you experienced while at Notre Dame?
Wow. That's a tough one. One of them that comes to mind would be when we beat Michigan at their home. So Michigan has a great history with their fans and lifting up the helmets and the student section and all that. And Mike Turkovic, who was our defensive line coach, played at Michigan, and he gave a roaring kind of inspirational talk before the game. And I remember us being in the tunnel, and guys were just on our team going nuts, throwing each other into the wall. I mean, guys were ready to run through. And I remember a couple of the Michigan players in front of us, they were front in the tunnel. They turned around and I was like, you know what? These guys know we're bringing it. And we did. It was a great, great game. We beat them on their home turf. They were always difficult to play. the book had just come out on Holtz that year. I think this might have been 92. And Coach was really down. And, you know, the book was full of lots of nonsense and what have you. It was a great victory. It pumped up our coach, who was our leader. And we lifted our helmets up in our student section on their home turf. It was a beautiful game, beautiful rivalry. And it's great to be an underdog in foreign territory and be successful.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're playing in the big house with 100,000 fans screaming everything at you, that's not going to encourage you to win the game. That's all the more sweeter when you can do so. Well, Michael McGlynn has been our guest, doing some great work, folks, promoting Eucharistic adoration. If you want to know more about his project and what he's doing, go to adorehimdaily.tv. Michael, it's always great to connect with you, and thanks for all you do and for coming on Blessed to Play. Really do appreciate it.
You know, Ron, with that quick story with Michigan, we were underdogs in that game. Souls that begin to adore our Lord, they experience something very powerful, and that is, it's not what we're doing, it's not what we've done, and it's not what we're going to do. It's in recognizing what he did, what he wants to do now, and what he promises to do for us when we take our last breath. No matter what kind of an underdog we may feel like in this world today, no matter how inadequate someone might feel, when you go to the Lord and begin to spend time with him, that victory is assured. And I really want people to know that. So please take time to go adore our Lord in his real presence. And Ron, it's great to be on with you. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks so much. Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You could like us on Facebook and hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. From Michael McGlynn, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.